Sometimes, Nick, your life is just a warning to other people.
Hey, welcome to episode 172 of Front Seat Gamer. I'm Nick. I'm here with Blake.
Hey, Nick.
And Paul.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Blake.
Hey, how have you been doing, Paul?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad.
We've taken this thing like way off the rails already.
You know, I'm also in this podcast. In fact, we host it. Okay. You guys been playing stuff? What's up with you, Paul?
I've pretty much still been playing the same stuff.
Yeah. So Warcraft Rumble and Warcraft Classic.
Yep.
It has to have Warcraft in the name, or you do not touch it.
Yeah, at the moment, yes. I don't know how long that'll last. Probably not that long, but yeah.
Are you playing hardcore?
No, I did start out there, but then made it to like level 12, and then Stacey died, It was like, wow, this is not actually what I was looking for out of this game.
Yeah, I would imagine that hardcore with a friend is a lot less fun than hardcore by yourself in some ways.
Yeah, well, it was like then I'd have to reroll, but
exactly.
And like, there's no way I'm just going to continue on my own, really.
There was a thing where it's like safety in numbers, right?
Yes. Especially in that game. There is. Unless I was sort of leading things and I was like, that rare spider, we could definitely kill that.
Oh, it was your fault?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, no.
Your fault, but Stacey took the brunt.
Yeah.
You were a warlock, though, right?
Yes.
But you had a tank, right?
Yeah, but that spider hit like hard.
Oh, no.
It like two-shot my fucking Voidwalker.
Oh, boy. Why didn't you just run?
At that point, we did.
Oh, okay.
But into chased. Other spiders.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, webs. Were they the ones that blink?
No.
Okay. Well,
we were just like level 12 and slow. And
where was this? You were Horde, right?
Yep.
Where's
Silver Pine? Silver Pine Forest.
Oh, I love Silver Pine. Yeah. I know. It was the cave there, right?
Yeah, it was. It was the spider cave.
I remember that. I died a lot there, too.
Yeah.
The all right. Blake, what have you been playing?
Me? I have been playing two games.
Okay.
I played Galactic Civilization 4.
Yep.
And I played Warhammer Darktide.
That's the ARPG, right?
Darktide?
Yeah.
No. That's the Left 4 Dead style, Vermintide style game.
Sure.
That is really, really cool. So Galactic Civilization, I actually don't really have too much to say about it, other than like it made me want to play Stellaris, and so I started playing Stellaris after.
So you're playing three games.
Just thinking, but I'm not gonna. I could talk a little bit about Stellaris.
No, thank you.
They've changed a lot since I last played. Yeah.
Oh boy.
They actually have something that. When I was playing Galactic Civilization,
uh-huh.
they have a system that is like your cabinet, right? So you got your jam there. And you got so you have your like finance minister and your like defense minister and all that.
Sure.
And I was like, this is really cool, and it just gives like a empire wide buff depending on the character that you put in, and the character has different stats. And I was like, that's a neat thing. Like, Stellaris should have something like that.
And they do.
And and I went and played Stellaris, and they added that. I don't know when they added that, but that's
They had mayors or like presidents. They had leadership for a long time.
Yeah, they had leaders.
Yeah.
But they have kind of changed it all up. Like, you have your cabinet instead of, before you had leaders in every research division.
Yeah.
So you had three research divisions. You needed a leader in all of them. Now you just need one leader for the head of research across everything. Yeah, supreme leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the leaders, like, level up. Well, they always did level up.
Then they eventually die.
When they level up now, instead of just gaining a stat without you knowing, like, why or anything.
Because
you've played Stellaris.
Yeah.
Occasionally, it'll be like, oh, this person gained this trait.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, neat.
Duplicitous. And now they're going to...
And you're like, okay, I guess that's cool.
Whatever, sure.
But now it's like when they level up, you actually like can level them up yourself and choose which like stat they have.
Okay.
So you can basically build someone into being better at research, or better at like defense stuff.
That game, it feels like the developers are allergic to people actually learning how to play it.
I do not know how I would play that game without, what's it been, 7 years of since playing it from the start.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd get into it now, because it's even, like, the last time I played was probably like 2 years ago. It was already like
I think I tried dense then.
Yeah. It's even denser now.
Yeah, I think I tried to play it about 2 years ago as well, and when I realized there were like multiple new resources before you could build your first ship or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, actually, yeah, no, this is. So I don't think I'm gonna have.
I haven't played too much more of it, but like I went and downloaded like three more expansions for it that I hadn't gotten.
Three expansions. Okay.
It costs more money than I was like, well. It's a Christmas present to myself. I had to really talk myself into buying it.
It's not even December, Blake. It's not even December.
It's almost December. Next week it'll be December, okay. I think. That's close enough.
Yeah.
But I had to talk my... I sat on these, like, three DLCs in my, like... in my...
wish list?
No. What's it called? Checkout.
Okay.
Cart.
Yeah. In my cart. Yeah. For, like, half a week. And then eventually I was like, oh, all right, I'm just going to do it.
How much was this?
Yeah, tell us.
We can look it up.
There were $70 all up.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the price of our game, of a full game. These are just like DLC add-ons.
I bought Titan Quest.
Yeah.
You remember Titan Quest?
Yep.
Yep.
I bought Titan Quest and three expansions this week for $25.
Titan Quest is old, though,
It is very old. But you know what? Stellaris is also old now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, dude, the crazy thing is, like, this is the thing with all these Paradox games, is if you wanted to just jump in, if you hadn't played any of these games before and you're like, I just want to jump in and then get, like, the up-to-date experience, you're putting down hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Oh, you want to play Crusader Kings? Oh, yeah. $400.
Yeah, it's insane.
What?
There was one DLC for Crusader Kings that was probably, like, 50-something bucks.
Yeah.
And... that's where I drew the line. One DLC for $50. I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
It does depend how much you're going to get out of it, though.
It does, but you're also like, I don't know how much I'm going to get.
Yeah. If that's like 100 hours of gameplay, you'd be like, oh, shit, that's actually fine.
Maybe it's just me, but I think a good business model is full price for the latest DLC, and then all the other ones are free. That way, if you're really invested in the game, you play it all the time, you're always buying the new one, it's functionally a subscription model.
Mm.
And then if you know nothing about the game, you just want to try it out, people keep talking about it, your barrier for entry is low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, doesn't the Elder Scrolls MMO do something like that, where at a certain point, past expansions are just part of the
core game?
Like Elder Scrolls Online?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't... I haven't been keeping up with their expansions, believe it or not.
Because I remember the last time I played that, it was like, I never got the latest DLC, like the latest expansion, but I had access to like a load of past expansions, and I hadn't paid anything extra for it.
I think it makes a lot of sense for an MMO.
Because
if you wanted to play World of Warcraft and you didn't want to buy the expansions.
Yeah.
You would be leveling up in empty zones.
Yeah. How does WoW work? Like you used to just buy all of the expansions?
You only buy the most recent one.
And then you have all the others.
I don't know because I haven't actually. I mean, I'm playing Classic.
You specifically avoided
all those expansions. Not for me.
Yeah. I haven't played WoW since like Warlords of Draenor, and I swear I remember going to like the Panda place.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Like. I mean, certainly if you want to play the latest content and you don't want to buy the interim expansions, you can't get there, right?
Yeah.
So I'm almost certain they do it this way.
Yeah.
Again, from the perspective of someone that doesn't actually know, just speculating as to how they do things.
But there's a little wrinkle in this, which is that World of Warcraft also has a subscription cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which to me is weird that then why, what are you buying with this, with an expansion? It's like a premium.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
Every few years, you pay a premium on your
subscription.
Exactly, and you are not playing World of Warcraft and not playing the expansion.
Yeah,
you're gonna get it because you literally can't play with anybody else if you don't.
Yeah,
also not charging for the season thing, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. They're doing that season thing. They didn't mention a charge for it.
Yeah,
I just assumed they weren't.
I think that is, no, I suspect that's part of your subscription. Because, I mean, again, you're playing, you're paying a subscription for a game that has had barely any work done in it
for that's like
20 years?
Their main
most of the work was removing the stuff done.
So, and the main draw is we're not adding stuff.
Yeah. So you're playing.
But they are, though. For the season stuff, they are.
I mean, the season, they are so now, but
I
like...
think, to me, there's someone at Blizzard whose conscience got the better of them and said, you guys, we are making a lot of money and literally doing nothing. Mm. We need to do something.
Yeah.
Just anything. What can we do? What will players like that we don't have to charge for?
Yeah.
People have been wanting that, like, Classic Plus for quite a while.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I have heard people always talking about, like, oh, man, I hope they do, like, a Classic Plus that are just, like... expansions just on Classic or something like
I'd
that.
I'd never heard that before until about a month before BlizzCon.
Oh,
and then
really?
It seemed like, or like half my YouTube feed started popping up with talking about stuff about Classic Plus. And I was like, what?
I think that I haven't looked much into it, but the model that they're going for is like essentially seasonal content without majorly adding permanent expansions.
I think
is a smart strategy. I mean, it is the PoE strategy, right?
Mm. Yep.
It is the game, the game you know and love with a twist.
Yep. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
It seems interesting.
There was also a thing of like, they also have microtransactions as well, you know, like they're making lot.
Yep.
So you're paying for the expansion, then you got a sub, then there's microtransactions on top of that.
Yep.
I heard some crazy stat that, Warcraft 2 Wings of Liberty got out.
What game are you trying to say?
What?
Warcraft 2 Wings of Liberty?
Yeah.
You mean StarCraft?
Oh.
Or do you mean Warcraft 2?
StarCraft 2.
Okay.
I didn't even know what you were like. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
I was like, hang on. There's two different games happening there.
No, StarCraft 2 Wings of Liberty got outsold by one WoW microtransaction. Like, WoW microtransaction made more money than Wings of Liberty.
I probably know what it was as well. It was probably the Winged Horse.
It was. Yeah.
I remember I was working at IGN at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember reading something along the lines of, or hearing, like, we were doing the math. It was something along the lines of they were making $1.5 million an hour from that microtransaction.
Holy hell.
For, like, weeks on end.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, there you go. All right.
Yeah, so their expansions should just be free because they've already got microtransactions.
I fully agree. I fully agree. I also think that's true of any other game with a long chain of expansions.
Mm.
Darktide, what is that?
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about Galactic Civilization.
Yeah.
Something
about Darktide.
All right, Darktide. Darktide is it's pretty much like Left 4 Dead.
Okay. Is it good?
It's really good. And what is cool is that me and my friends played Vermintide a lot.
Yeah.
Which was their like traditional Warhammer.
Is this 40K or is this
Darktide? Darktide is 40K.
Okay.
Vermintide was like Warhammer Age of Sigmar, like whatever.
Like the old medieval style.
And we always had a problem with the progression in Vermintide because it was very, very random. Like you would finish an area, and then you'd literally like roll dice, and then depending on what those dice were, where you would get loot, and you could get loot for other classes as well, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
because there's like four classes, so there's like a 1 in 4 chance that you actually get something that you
want. Can
you trade? I don't think you can, At one point, there was like a DLC or an update that allowed you to take what you didn't want and start crafting into something else.
Great.
But that was added way after.
Hey guys, it's been a year, and I think players are starting to notice that they're removing a lot of things they can't use.
Yeah, so we played it quite a lot and barely got any like progression. Like we never really got any new items. We got maybe like one or two new things.
Yeah.
And we were playing it for like months. Darktide, straight off the bat, you just have a store. You get gold from doing missions, you spend it in a store. Everything in the store is
for you.
For you, for your class. Like, you don't see any other class items at all. And already, that is way better. Like, I've upgraded... At first, I was upgrading my gear every mission.
Yeah.
And, like...
Slow down.
Now it's slowing down a bit, but then there's also their crafting thing where you can, like, add extra stats to your current, like, weapons and things like that. They've just got way more stuff that keeps you feeling like you are progressing instead of just doing the same thing over and over and over and being like, maybe I'll get a new sword this like fourth run.
So you said it's like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played Left 4 Dead and there's no gear in that.
No. I mean, it's an evolution of Left 4 Dead.
Okay, so you're getting gear to do, I assume, harder missions?
Yeah, and the missions are, it's very like Left 4 Dead where... You need to, you make your way through a, you know, a level, various things of like.
Doing shootings.
Your goal is to usually like activate something or like collect something, get to a.
Sure.
Get to some point.
Like three different kinds or something, right? Of missions?
Probably. Like there's one that is just like get to a point. And then wait around and then get picked up. And then there's one that's like, get to a point and like activate a bunch of stuff and guard things. There's also, I think, an assassin one that we've never finished, which is probably just like beat a big boss at the end.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But you're going through and it has hordes of enemies, just like Left 4 Dead. Yeah. And it even has like a sound in the distance that you're like, oh, a horde is coming. You know, it's really got DNA from Left 4 Dead in there, and they're just, you know, they're just pouring out at you, and you're just mowing them down, and it's so fun. And I'm playing as this like giant ogre guy, and I've got a shield
and a melee weapon Shrek? Or something.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
That's the one I played as well.
No, his name's Thumb.
Okay, Thumb.
Thumb.
Okay,
and he's got a shield, and he uses the shield as a melee weapon.
Yeah,
and just like he just hits. Like eight guys at one time, and they go flying, and it's so much fun.
It does sound fun.
I did have a lot of fun when I was playing it. I got a little bit bored with the progression at the time, but I played it when it first came out.
Oh yeah,
and there was no crafting yet.
Oh okay,
it did not launch with crafting. There was a menu, and it said crafting, and it was like still in development or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this game free to play, or did you pay for it?
No, I paid for it.
Okay,
I don't think it was. I bought it on a sale, and it wasn't much at the time.
Okay.
Certainly less than like a Stellaris DLC.
Sure. Are areas randomly generated?
No, but they have.
Left 4 Dead, from what I remember, had sort of branching paths. Like,
yeah,
could play the same level a bunch of times, but you might take different paths each time.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Okay. Yeah, there was a couple levels that we were doing, and then we got like halfway through and like, wait a minute, we recognize this. Like, we'd gone like a different path. So it's almost it's like they've made a bunch of maps, and the missions take place in different
areas.
Different places on the map. Cool. And it's just really, really fun.
Yeah, and it looks really cool. Feels real satisfying. I thought the combat was very good.
It's great. I'm really, really enjoying it. Mm. The one downside is that you have to play with other people, and like you have to work on their schedule. Like we were going to play after the podcast, but then it's like one person can't make it. So then it's like, it's got to be like next week. And I even made a new character because I was like, man, I just want to go in and see if I can just play solo with bots as like my teammate. Can't do it.
No, okay.
It's got to be with other people.
Oh, yeah, but you can like random matchmake or something.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That brings up a question I have, which is how's Baldur's Gate 3 going?
Oh, actually, I'm back on that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Really good. I'm going to play that after the podcast. I'm back into
it. Assuming everyone's on board.
Well, actually, Baldur's Gate 3, this is interesting. I've downloaded a mod for it.
Yeah.
A mod that allows you to have extra party members.
Okay.
Which, the reason I wanted to do that is that...
You want the NPC experience as well as the friends experience?
You mean my multiplayer Baldur's Gate. Oh, we haven't played that in ages because no one can organize themselves.
Yeah.
It's that exact thing.
Yeah.
My single player, I'm back into it, and I downloaded a mod that lets me add extra party members.
You want all the story stuff.
Yeah. And I'm already, when I got Karlach, I added her to the party and removed Asterion.
Yeah.
And but I was like, I always liked Asterion's like story whole stuff. Vibe. And yeah, his, this whole, yeah, his whole vibe. And I was like, man, this is a bummer.
Catty vibe.
Yeah. And so I added him back. And almost straight away, he had an interaction with this like devil guy that I'm like, oh man, this was a good idea.
Raphael?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what a character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game is great.
Mm.
I'm glad you're playing that again. I want to talk in detail about that game.
I'm almost at the what is it, Moonrise Towers?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm almost there.
It, well, hang on. You can go there at many different points.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I looked on my map and I was like, oh, they're like right next to me now.
Okay. Well, I won't get into detail.
Okay.
That, but
okay.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're playing that.
Yeah. I'm back into it.
That's I've been great. Playing Elden Ring.
Yeah.
I have some thoughts.
Yeah.
I beat it, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
That game is fine.
Yeah.
I think they have a pretty sticky combat system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think they've got a great art style.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Really?
I think, okay. There are lots of things that annoy me a lot about that game.
Yeah.
Where do I start?
Oh my god.
Start with like some of the things that I think are like very nitpicky. Why don't I start with the nitpicks?
All right. I'll tell you why you're wrong, but
oh, please do. Okay. So, you know, I'm a game designer.
Mm.
One of the things that I worked on for a long time on PoE was like game item terminology and names. Like
yeah.
Making sure there's at least some consistency. Do you know what the healing flasks in Elden Ring are called?
What are they called?
They're called flasks of Crimson Tears.
Oh.
Okay. Do you know how you can like make your own flask? You get like these two objects and combine them and you can make your own thing.
It
has a combination of these effects.
Yeah.
Do you know what that thing is called?
What?
The Flask of Wondrous Physique. You know what ingredients you use to make those?
What?
You use tears.
Yeah.
So what is it? It's called Flask of Wondrous Physique.
Yeah.
But it uses items that have like, it's called like Crimson Bubble Tear or something like that.
Yeah.
What?
Hang on.
I'm not done yet. Do you know how you can respec your character?
Yeah.
Do you know what the item you use to respec your character is called?
I don't remember. Was it like a finger or something?
No. I never remember things.
It's
like
a larval tear.
Oh, I don't remember that. Okay.
So we have three different things called tears.
Yeah.
We have two different things that are functionally flasks. The flasks are called different things, and the three different things that are called tears each function differently.
Yep.
What the hell are you doing?
These are things that I have never picked up on because I don't read the names of items.
It's...
There's the health thing. You put the health thing in the bottle. Yeah,
once you put the health thing in the thing.
And the wondrous thing.
The
flask.
It bothers me
a lot. I remember there was soap, right?
Okay, so...
Was there soap?
Yes, there's soap.
Yeah, and there's fingers. I remember those two things.
Yeah, I remember fingers as well.
Fingers.
Yeah, because the soap is like for summoning, right? You draw a thing on the...
The fingers, man. The community is... terrible.
Why?
The default mode in Elden Ring is online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
when you're
playing, you get these messages that pop, like you can read them. And the community is just, they think they are very, very funny.
Mm.
And they use the same joke 400,000 times throughout the game.
Yep. Try jumping.
That is funny. Try jumping.
Try jumping.
That isn't even, I mean, yeah, there's that one. Or there's like a corpse hanging off a ledge and its butt is sticking out. Try fingers, butthole.
Okay, that's a good one.
You know what? Hey, maybe it's funny the first time. I'll grant you that. But then you see it. You see thousands of these messages as you're playing, and you're like, oh, there might be some useful information here. Try fingers, butthole. Okay, cool, guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about just up against just a random wall that says try hitting?
Yep. There's a lot of that.
You do get really useful ones too, though.
You do get that's the problem, though. That's the problem is you have useful ones and you have the stupidest ones you've ever seen, and they're intermingled, and there's no way to tell the difference. There's a rating system, and as far as I can tell, the rating system does nothing to the actual appearance rate.
No, but the ratings, like all the ones that you're complaining out of, like
they're rated highly.
They would be rated highly.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Good. Great. That's wonderful. That's very useful.
That's what the people want.
Uh-huh.
I feel like he's just mad because he didn't try fingers.
Yeah, did you try fingers?
I didn't try fingers. To be fair, I did not try fingers.
You can get like a giant finger weapon. Did you try hitting?
I did not try hitting.
You know,
the
and doing it like 50 times, and then you
oh boy,
reveal a
I
secret.
Didn't realize I was podcasting with the community. okay, so let's talk about the quest system.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
This was people. Okay, before you say anything. People raved about it. People loved it. People were like, this should be in more games.
Why?
Because it doesn't tell you anything. You have to just write stuff down and remember it.
No. It's worse than that. It doesn't tell you anything, and then NPCs will just disappear.
No, they... Well, yes, but but they move around. They'll go places.
Yeah, and you can like continue a story later on, yeah. Bump into someone again.
Yeah.
And because you didn't see them earlier,
yeah.
They'll be like, oh, sorry, I missed you there. But
yeah, there's a guy that's like, I remember encountering this dude that's like, you join his quest or something to find some hidden city. And he's like, all right, I'm going to this place to look for it. And then mm-hmm. he's gone again. And then if you don't remember what he said,
and don't
you'll have a hard time finding him again.
That's mm-hmm. That stuff's fine. But the thing I don't like is like, okay, there's an NPC at the very start of the game.
He
like wears a mask or something like that. So it's like a white mask.
Oh, yep.
Or whatever. Yep. And in order to get like certain quests, you have to exhaust his dialogue options. Which means you talk to him, and then you have to talk to him again.
Yeah.
And you have to talk to him again.
Yeah, but aren't you doing that to every NPC?
No, because
why not?
Why would I ever talk to the same NPC multiple times in a row?
Hang on.
If they have information they want to deliver to me, they can deliver to me in the first chunk.
What if they forgot?
Huh?
What if they forgot until like the fifth time?
Well, then it must not be important. It shouldn't be a quest.
You gotta search out. No. The dialogue is like searching out little secrets, just like the game.
That's so dumb. That is so dumb that I have to talk to... Oh, okay. So here's a great example. I did the Ronnie quest. She's a mage. She's it leads to one of the endings.
Yep.
I did the whole thing. I had to look at a guide a bunch to get it done, by the way.
Yeah.
There's a point where she There's a point where she basically dies, right?
Right.
And then you go to this location and you find a doll that looks like her.
Huh. Okay.
And in order to continue the quest, you have to go to the nearby site of Grace,
mm-hmm.
and you have an option to talk to her.
Mm.
And then you talk to her, and you get dot, dot, dot. You have to talk to her three times for her to even acknowledge that you're talking to her. At a specific site of Grace, and then you can continue the quest. If you don't do that, if you go to any other site of Grace, it doesn't work. You have the doll on you. It's an item. Why can't you talk to it anywhere? Why do you have to do it three times? Is this fun? Is this fun for people? It's not fun for me.
There is something that I will slightly agree with you, where when you first meet her, it has to be at a specific site of Grace at a specific time.
Yeah.
I 100% missed that until I heard about it and then had to actively go back at that specific time. I don't like that.
Here's another good example.
She could just show up at any site of Grace.
This happens a lot, by the way. This mechanic that you're talking about, all over the place.
Yeah.
There's a character called Blythe.
Yeah.
He's a wolf man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know where you first meet him?
He's howling, making owl sounds on top of the tower.
Yeah.
I remember this. This is one I actually looked up.
Yeah. And you looked it up?
Yeah.
You didn't figure it out yourself?
No.
Oh, wild. Wild that you didn't figure it out yourself.
Yeah,
because it's so clear.
You just go north, talk to the vendor, buy a very specific thing.
All you have to do is you have to go to you talk to like some random vendor, and then you go to a church on the other side of the map, where he's howling. You have to hear the howling noise. Then you have to go back to the vendor, back where you started, talk to him about this specific howling noise. At this specific church. By the way, by now you've heard a lot of howling noises because there's wolves all over the game.
Yeah, there's wolves everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, that's probably this guy. here, do this gesture near the church. So you have to go back to the church and you have to go to your menu and, and you have to like add a gesture to your menu and then use the gesture. Yeah. And then he'll jump down and talk to you.
I met that
guy. That's the quest.
I met that guy, but I don't remember doing any of that.
Because you can bump into him later, right? You can
bump into him later.
Yeah.
But there
same one that tells you to go meet him in the underground place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd met him before that.
Oh, my God. Oh,
like, I swear I'd met him in the woods with all those wolves, like, at some ruined place somewhere.
Well, that's where I saw him, and yeah. I didn't have to go to a church.
No, I didn't have to go to a church.
I had to go to a vendor.
It wasn't
the church.
It was like it was ruins. It was there was a giant bear sleeping in it.
It was that. Yeah. But I don't remember doing a gesture. I don't remember looking up how to see anyone or anything.
There was something you had to buy from the vendor. If you'd bought the thing from the vendor, you could like do it or something.
You had to. You get the
because I do remember running all over the place trying to be like, where is this guy?
Yeah, and I spent ages trying to jump up.
I don't remember because
was it a guy? You read that there was a guy.
I knew there was a guy there. No, someone in the some NPC had said there is, and he's like a criminal guy or something, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that he's somewhere around the place, and said something like, "Oh, he's south" or something like that. So I would just run like so far.
I'm not sure he's talking about the same guy.
Nah, like, I'm sure it's the same guy.
Different, I think.
As a criminal guy, dude, it was a long time ago that I played this.
The reason I spent so long trying to find him was because of that owl noise or wolf noise, whichever it was.
Yeah.
Because I was killing things in that area and I kept hearing it. I swore that it was from like above me.
Yeah.
I spent a while trying to jump up all of the ruins there
until
I eventually Googled like how to get in.
Oh, it's so easy. Just go to the vendor at the start of the game, talk to him about the howling in the church or in the ruins, and then... perform a clicking gesture.
Yeah, I don't remember doing any of that. Oh, crazy. But I do remember, like, meeting him in that forest.
Yeah.
And then meeting him in Ronnie's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was that.
You know what else happens in that quest line?
What?
You meet a character called Saluvis.
Is he the guy that's like, oh, you should kill someone for me or something?
Yeah. Yeah, that's him.
I don't trust that guy.
Yeah, well, that's fine, because... He sends you on this quest, and the quest has a few different options.
Yeah.
And if you don't do those parts in a specific order, and you continue Ronnie's quest line, he dies, and that quest ends, and you don't get the...
He was a no-good guy anyway.
You don't get access to an item. It's like one of the best items.
You just kill him straight away.
It just vanishes, and it's the only item in the game that has this interaction.
Look, man.
I'm in two minds about this stuff, because I do think it is too convoluted. But I do like that there are secrets.
Mm.
Secrets are fine. Don't get me wrong. I like secrets. I think that the hidden walls in this game are fine.
Mm.
Mm.
Like, because you can kind of tell where they are. And if you don't tell where they are, it doesn't progression block you.
Yeah, because it's like players leave notes. It says try hitting. So.
And there is a logic to them to some degree. The quests have almost no logic.
Any of them necessary, though? Other than not being able to get access to
really.
This item.
And in fact, that kind of leads into my other point, which is the story. The story is, I know people like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's hot garbage.
I have no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Dark Souls stories have always been very just weird. Like,
it's certainly weird. I will grant you that. But the writing is... I'll say weird. I'll be charitable. I'll say weird.
Yeah.
What I want to say is bad, but I'll say...
Why is it bad?
They don't talk like normal people.
That's part of its charm.
It kind of veers between like gothic horror and anime. The cutscenes are very anime, which it feels at odds with the rest of the style of the game.
Mm.
Also, you know what? I played it as a caster in my main game, and then I did New Game Plus, and I like respect like a melee character, and the melee character was way easier.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
I've heard the opposite.
And now it may be that I'm like overleveled for my area in New Game Plus or something, but I'm like halfway through it now.
Oh, wow.
And it's still really a lot easier.
Yeah?
I have a weapon that heals me on kill, and that...
Ooh, that's good.
That makes things very easy.
Are you just dodging and hitting?
Yeah, pretty much. Or blocking. I have a shield that will like reflect projectiles if I time it right.
Yep.
Which is if you're playing a caster, you kind of just have casting and running away. And if you run out of those two things, you die.
Yeah.
The story is, so you don't know what's really going on. You can, if you read really deep into the lore.
But that's what I like about it. It feels like you are just in this world that is happening, and there's like story going on around you, but and like a history to it, and you are just kind of discovering it.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I don't dispute that. But then, like, you fight. Do you know who the final boss is?
No.
I've never finished it.
I've never finished it.
Do you want to spoil it?
Yeah.
It's really obvious if you read all the clues. It's Elden Beast.
Okay.
Okay.
What is Elden Beast? I'll tell you what it is. It's a big blob.
Really?
It's a big shapeless blob.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really. There's no lore for it, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, no.
Because I did hear someone say that it really felt like the second to last boss should have been the end.
Yeah. I mean, the second to last boss was really easy.
Okay.
I mean, unless they're talking about the guy before that. So you fight a guy called Godric, and then he turns into Horaloo.
Right.
I don't know. There is a character with the Lu last name that you meet earlier.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense why this guy transforms. I don't understand.
Maybe
that.
You missed some lore somewhere.
It's very possible.
Did maybe there's if you'd hit a conversation one more time, you could have
I should have been reading all the item descriptions to know what was going
on.
Dude,
that is a thing as well that like I also like and also like find annoying of like having to read item descriptions.
I don't do that.
To understand what's going on in the world.
Yeah. Or just to discover secrets. I remember in Dark Souls 1, there was like an item description that if you read it, you would kind of, it's like a hint towards another sort of area, which is like another side boss to fight.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would have never, I did read about that online.
Yeah.
Not on the item description.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. What a shock.
Yeah.
What a shock in this kind of game.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we talk a little bit about like the towers with the turtle mechanic?
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about with the invisible turtles.
Okay, that's the first one.
Yeah.
That's the first one. That's the easiest one.
Okay. I don't think I found any others.
Oh, okay, because there's a bunch.
Is there?
Yeah. Here's the first one is, I would say, the easiest one.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, kill the three wise beasts. Doesn't tell you what the wise beasts are.
Mm.
I think most people would assume owls.
Sure.
Or something that that has some connotation with wisdom.
Yeah.
No, it's the turtles, and they have ghost turtles. And you can figure that out pretty quickly because you turn around and see a ghost turtle.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And the first tower, there's like another one in the bushes.
Yeah.
Right?
And then there's an invisible one
in the water.
Yep.
Now, I think most people probably found the invisible one by seeing messages saying invisible
one. Yes, all around.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. I remember that.
That's pretty dumb. If you stand there and you watch for a really long time, you might see a splash in the water, and then you can find it and kill it.
Just teaching you to be more observant.
Okay, sure. I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt here. And then you go to like the next one in like the Lurn of the Lakes or whatever that place
is called.
Right, yeah. And there's like one in a tree, and there's like one off of the island that you're on. And so I guess now they're teaching you that like, oh, it's not going to be like nearby all the time.
Yeah.
By the end of the game, you go to this, there's this place in Lyurna of the Lakes, which is like only accessible if you do this. I think if you do Ronnie's quest line.
Right.
And there's a tower up there and there's three turtles. One of them is, I'm going to spoil this for anybody who, so if you care, then cover your ears. There's a turtle off the side of the cliff, hanging onto the cliff. You have to like peer over the edge and like shoot it with a ranged weapon. That's the easiest of the three. The next two are on opposite sides of the enormous island you're on.
Oh no!
Here's the thing: if you fast travel to get there, they disappear.
Whoa!
And nothing tells you that. And I don't think it's like intended. I think it's just a consequence of how the game systems work.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So this is just literally sloppy game making.
That's tough. Yep.
This is sloppy game making. You can know where they are.
Yeah.
You can go to where they are, and you will not find them because you fast traveled.
Yep.
You have to.
But then, if you were just walking by, would you see that turtle? Like, if you didn't know about the tower at all, and you were just in the area, you hadn't gone to that tower yet, and you're just walking by, would you see this glowing turtle?
No. You have to read the thing for the turtles to appear.
Oh.
You have to read the thing for the turtles to appear. And if you fast travel to go and get the turtle, it disappears and you have to go back and read the thing again.
Yeah, okay. That's tough.
It's really sloppy.
I don't like that. All right.
I don't like it either.
All right.
But this is the kind of thing that shows up a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there are lots of little weird quirks of the game where these two systems don't interact well, and they didn't really bother to do anything about it.
Yeah.
I think...
How did anyone figure that out then?
That's a good question.
Did someone just search the entire island?
I would assume so.
Yeah, but I'm guessing a lot of, well, not a lot of people, but there are some people that are really into this game and will spend ages scouring everything, right?
I would assume it is all community driven. I think that 99% of the game's massive glaring errors are looked over because the community works together to solve these problems themselves. And I think that is bad game design.
Where the turtle is, was there lots of writing around? You know, like the messages?
Of course.
Yeah. So
but
if you
could go there, see the writing, and not see the turtle. By the way, I also read somewhere online, sometimes the turtle just won't show up. Like, it'll be invisible, but it's still there.
Yeah. Okay. I don't like that.
So that's a fun little twist.
I think you're justified in that.
Sometimes you'll quick travel and it won't be there, but sometimes you'll go there without quick traveling and it still won't be there.
Yeah. All right. you're justified with that one. All right. That's fine. You're right with that.
There are lots of ways to like kind of soft lock your progression in this as well. If you you pick the wrong stats.
Mm.
You upgrade the wrong weapon, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You have to start again, basically.
It's terrifying upgrading weapons because it's like, I don't know how rare the resources are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If there's going to be something better.
If there's going to be something better.
Yep. Oftentimes, very, very good weapons are like kind of, they're either hidden out in the open and you just have to know that they're there and you can run over there and you can get it and you'll have a pretty good time. Or they're like, 3 quest layers deep, and depending on what kind of build you're running, you might just have a bad time. Man, I don't know. I get why people like the combat. I get why people like the character upgrading and like sense of challenge. I think that most you can cheese a lot of the bosses.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was a boss, the hardest boss in the game, was not the final boss. It wasn't Marika, whatever the classic boss that people complained about. I breezed through that one after a few attempts.
Mm.
It was on that same place where those like 3 turtles, that 2 of them will just not appear sometimes.
Yeah.
There's an Everjail, and there's a Black Knife Assassin, and I could not beat it until I found that there was a cheesy strategy where you can kind of lock him in a corner.
Mm.
So you can just hit him every like 3 seconds with my weak ass claw attack.
Oh,
and he'll kind of just kind of he'll wiggle a little bit and he'll go down.
That's no fun.
And that, by the way, gives you the best summon in the game.
Oh my god.
Interesting.
It is I think a deeply flawed game. I think like 7 out of 10 is like being generous.
Didn't they get 10 out of 10?
Yeah, sure it got Game of the Year.
Yeah, yeah. And
a lot of people really like this game, and I don't get it.
It because it's a legacy. It's the legacy. Like
I think it is because of Dark Souls.
Yeah, people,
there is some weird cult following of Dark Souls. People, for whatever reason, are blind to so many of the problems of these games because they like specific other aspects of it.
Yeah,
and they are
far. I think that's probably true. Mm. I don't have a lot of experience with Dark Souls games. I did play a chunk of Bloodborne, but only probably like 20 hours maybe before I got stuck and just gave up.
Yeah.
I really liked Elden Ring. And
have you beaten it?
No.
How come?
I got stuck on a boss, I think.
Mm.
But like, I don't finish a lot of games that I like.
I've never finished a Dark Souls game either, and I never finished. I didn't even get very far into Elden Ring, really. I played a lot of it.
Can I tell you about another boss?
Yeah.
This is another classic, like, I don't get why people like Dark Souls thing. There's a boss called, I think he's called Radagon. No, he's called I don't even remember. He's a big snake. He's a big snake with the second phase, the snake has a human face.
Yeah.
His neck, inexplicably. if you're in the entrance of the arena, there's like a corpse holding a weapon called like Snake Hunter or Serpent Hunter or something like that. You have to use this weapon to beat this boss.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't matter what spec you are.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you could probably do it as a caster, but you're going to have a much easier time using this one weapon.
Yeah.
Because in this one, against this, in this one fight, this one weapon has a special interaction.
Hmm.
Is that good? Is that a fun mechanic?
I get it, where they're just like, here's a completely one-off mechanic that like you have no way of anticipating.
Yep.
Never comes up again.
It's a melee weapon, so hope you're playing a melee character.
Yep. Yep. If you read the
I guess I just never made it to most of the jank. Because it really sounds like a lot of that stuff's in the later parts of the game. Like that island with the two turtles, right? Like, I never went there.
That is the end of the game. With the turtles. So, but even, like, I would say that, like, the first, you know, quarter of the game is probably its strongest. The first dungeon is really fun.
Mm.
Like, the sense of navigation in that space. I actually think the level design in general is really good. And in fact, I want to give props. There are some later on. There are some like crypts and like or catacombs, whatever you want to call them, that do some very interesting, albeit really annoying things.
Yep.
Where they will, they'll take you sort of through this winding path, and then you'll like drop down into an area that looks like an area you've been before, and you're like, oh, okay, I'll backtrack or whatever, but it turns out it's not the same area.
Hmm.
And they do this a few times, and you start to get really disoriented.
Oh,
and
that's neat.
It's neat. It's annoying, but it's really clever the way they did it. I appreciate the level of level design sophistication involved in that. It's a cool little magic trick, basically,
that
they've pulled off.
I really liked all those random side dungeons.
Yeah, I think those were probably my highlight.
Yeah.
Because they were scary, because if you died in them, it felt way more punishing than just dying out in the world.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to get your stuff back.
Yeah, because you got to go all the way through.
Repeat all your challenges.
Yeah.
I will say that, like, I had read criticisms about Tears of the Kingdom, like the caves in that game. It's like, why do I want to go in any caves? Because, like, they're all just going to contain materials, and that's boring. Whereas in Elden Ring, there's always, like, a cool thing at the end. I did like a lot of caves in Elden Ring, and you can skip most of them.
What do you get? What do you get at the end of those?
Ashes of War.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Most of them are bad. You kind of, and especially with the way the upgrade mechanic works, you kind of use two.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But what you really get is one. Souls, to be honest. You get souls.
You beat a boss and you get some souls.
Yeah.
And that's a resource.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what? People complaining about Tears of the Kingdom caves. Sit on it and spin. I think that like the things that Dark Souls, Elden Ring does really well are like the combat feeling, like even though it feels kind of clunky, there's a level of tactical placement and timing.
Yeah.
I get why people like it.
It's
cool. And there's a wide range of like builds you can kind of spec into, and that's cool. I think that the world design is interesting. In some parts, it's kind of stupid, but...
like what?
Well, like all the cliffs everywhere.
Yeah.
Cliffs all over the place.
I mean, that's to keep you contained, right? Like,
well, okay, sure. But then the fact that they have portals that will sidestep a lot of the navigation.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, there is a sort of, like, almost dreamlikeness to Souls games... worlds, like Dark Souls 3, like you start off thinking that like, oh yeah, this is like a like a normal kind of kingdom that's just like ruined and stuff. And then you get to a point where you look out over these like ridiculous chasm to like the next area that you're going to, and you're like, this isn't an actual like real place. Like there's no way this was a functioning like world. Right. And as you keep going through, it's like more and more weirdness pops up.
That's fine.
And you end up in you get to a point in that game where you're in an area from Dark Souls 1, and you're just like, how the hell is this even here? And you kind of realize this is more like some kind of weird patchwork,
it's dream a bunch of ideas stuck together.
I mean, yes, but also they've at least put it in the sense that like this is not physically possible, and it's that part of like the story.
Sure, that's fine. Look, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about random portals. I'm talking about chests that will teleport you to a location.
I love that. Oh, I love that. That's the best thing.
Teleports you was like such a learning experience.
It's so good because you teleport and then suddenly you look at your map and it's just blank and you're like, where am I? This is like terrifying. And you're just in like some
dangerous cave.
And all you do is just run.
That's
okay. I really like it a lot.
That's fine. You can like it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's bad world design.
I disagree.
Because what is more impactful to you? Clearing, making your way through this, like, you've beaten Godric the Grafted or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And then you look out and there's these lakes and it's like, wow.
I'm like, that is cool.
I'm in a new area. This is crazy. And you get the sense of progression and discovery of the world. Or you end up in a cave and then you kind of stumble out of the cave and there's like a pool in front of you. And now you're in a toxic swamp.
Okay, and it's get
like,
you.
Where am I? Why is this place like this? I didn't achieve anything to get here.
I get what you're saying. What I think. So
I think
are you saying that you would want? Okay, you do it. You open a thing. You teleport. Okay, and then maybe you're in a cave and you're like, all right, I fight my way out of the cave, and then you have a big vista of a land that you're like, where the hell am I? Is that what you want instead of just?
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. I think it needs to be properly gated.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be. It needs to. When the way they've done it, it undermines the sense of achievement and exploration a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like you can go to the place. There's a place in Lyrna of the Lakes called the Four Belfries.
Yeah.
And there's like basically three portals there, right? One of them takes you to like the first island where the. Like you wake up in the game and you lose to that boss. Cool. You get to go back. You get to beat that boss.
That's cool.
What a fun little Easter egg. That's nice.
Mm.
Another one takes you to like the underground area, which you may not have actually found. Which I didn't find like the first time. I ended up going this way first.
Yeah.
That's fine. I could have found it earlier on.
You have to get specific stones or something to open those too, right?
Yes. But you can find three of them. There's only three portals and you can use any of them on any of them. So you can choose.
Yeah.
You can choose any of those three. And there's one up there. So like you can get one immediately.
Mm. Also going back to that start zone and beating the start boss gave you a owl summon.
Yeah. Yes.
Which I was like super into. Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
Mm.
But then there's like one of them that takes you to like the last dungeon of the game.
Oh, wow.
And really? It takes you to the last dungeon of the game. And you're on this little island. And there are monsters there that are last end of the game difficulty. And if you beat them, you get like a pretty crummy talisman and you can't actually go anywhere from there. Mm. Literally, you have to get out of there. You either have to die or you have to go to your map and use like a travel to a site of grace.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you've seen the last end of the game.
Mm.
That undercuts like this big reveal later on.
Yeah.
And it's a cool looking dungeon.
Yeah.
But you go there with no context and no sense of achievement.
Well, there was one where I'm pretty sure this was definitely a chest. I remember you open it and it teleports you into the middle of the city right near the tree.
And there's a giant up
there. Yeah, and there's a giant there. And there's nowhere I could not figure out anywhere to go.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere.
You can kill a giant and get the chest in the corner.
Yeah. And so I did that. But then I was just like...
There's also a portal there that you can't activate at that point. But you can activate it later.
But I did... The thing is, I did quite like that because I was like, whoa, suddenly the tree that had been, you know, in the distance was like right there. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like basically right at the like the final area.
Yep.
But it was so self-contained
yep.
that you can't like go out and get yourself killed because you would just get killed one
I
shot
spent
at
like
that point.
3 hours to defeat that sentinel so that I could open that chest.
I kept going back to him.
You know what my experience was? He fell off the cliff when I fell off the cliff, and I didn't get any of the souls.
But he
died, and he didn't come back.
Oh man,
and that was my fight.
I just kept going back to him every couple of hours and being like, "Can I beat him now?"
Yeah, no, I had to do the entire fight like not getting hit.
Oh wow,
and it was absurd.
I also
and then Stacy ended up doing the same thing.
Yeah,
got to the same place. She just ran past, grabbed the chest, and then left.
Yeah, I was going to say, I also ran past, grabbed the chest, and then left. But
I didn't
then I
think
also
to do that.
Kept coming
I spent,
back to beat,
I spent
to beat
like,
the guy.
Honestly, 3 hours fighting this one thing. You like only attack its ankles.
Yeah. Because he's asleep, right?
Yep.
He's inactive. So
yeah,
you can
initially,
like just
yeah.
go around him. Yeah.
When you find out how to fight those things, by the way, they're very easy. You just hit the ankles, he
yeah.
falls over, and you hit.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're super duper easy. They're probably my favorite enemy of the game because there is like a logic to them. They're satisfying. They
yep.
have a sense of scale.
Yeah.
They hit hard. If you mess
yeah.
up, you get punished for it.
Yeah.
There are some enemies in that game that are just like, it's the developers laughing in your face over and over and over and over again.
The boss I quit on was a bit like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like this big white floating thing that would just zip around in the distance and shoot like missiles at you. Like magic missile things. It was absurd.
Big white floating thing that shoots magic missiles. That could be
a bunch of things. It was like all of a sudden almost like celestial, the environment.
Was big, it was it one of the
thing?
Ones in the underground?
Oh. Is it like a big sort of scorpion made of planets looking thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. That's a good example of a fight that is not fun. And
yeah, that's where I stopped.
There are
oh,
few
no,
fights...
that's not where I stopped playing. I did give up on that, though.
There are a few fights where it's like you enter the room, and if you're not immediately running, you get blasted in the face by a laser beam.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yes,
and then you spend the next, you know, half an hour just trying to figure out what the basic moveset is before you can even, like, lay a hit on him. And then you discover, oh, it's going to take me like 20 minutes to beat him anyway, so why bother?
Yep. There's lots of bosses that I just like walked away from and came back like later.
There are some areas in that game also, by the way, with mechanics that are just not fun. So, you know the I think it's called Kaelid? It's like the red area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is Scarlet Rot, right?
Yep.
Or there's a lake full of Scarlet Rot.
Yep.
That's not very fun. Later on, there's a place called, I think it's called this, Rot Lake.
Yeah.
It's in one of the underground areas.
Hmm.
It is a lake full of Scarlet Rot that that just stacks on you so fast
oh, God.
That you can't do anything about
yeah.
it. You know how you make your way through that?
How?
You just stack a bunch of curing boluses.
No, there must be another way.
No. You stack a bunch of curing boluses. There are little platforms that you can, can raise. But there's no way to get between platforms without getting sick.
Jeez.
And you have
but they don't.
Or you can just wait, I guess, 10 minutes for your little like sickness timer to go down between each platform.
Yeah.
You can handle a few stacks or something too.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything until it hits the top of the meter.
Yeah.
But it takes ages for it to go down.
Yeah.
And it stacks very quickly.
Yeah, I remember going through that.
I did.
I don't remember.
Well, isn't there
I remember like sprinting to like these platforms and then just standing on them.
Isn't there a plant or something that cures Scarlet Rot? Like there is a thing. So is it like you sprint to those platforms, cure yourself, sprint to the next one, cure yourself?
Yeah.
But you just have to make sure that you have enough.
Yeah. You have to go in with
antidote.
Like 30 of them.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And there's like a couple bosses in there.
Mm.
In fact, at the end of this, there's another little fun world building mechanic.
Yeah.
The coffins.
Oh.
Yep.
You get inside a coffin.
Yep.
And then you go to a new place.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did that.
Yeah.
Well, you mean the rolling coffins? The like enemies?
No, that's not even a thing in the Elden Ring, I don't think.
No, it is.
I did that accidentally because I was like really struggling in that area and I was like trying to sneak around and then I saw like this coffin at the end of the thing.
And you're going to jump on it and instead of jumping on it, you go in, there's a cutscene and you go inside and you appear in a completely different place. Yeah. In fact, that's where you fight your boss.
Yeah, the one that sucked.
Yep.
There is a rolling like Iron Maiden thing.
Okay, sure.
And that teleports you to another place.
Oh, okay. Yes, we can talk about that if you want.
Yeah.
That one I don't look. That one's stupid, but I
well that one is foreshadowed.
That
one's
kind of fine as well. If it wasn't foreshadowed, that's the kind of secret that I'm kind of fine with.
There is an interesting point here, which is that all of these weird things are memorable, right? Like they become like a even though it might be a jank thing or a thing that sucks, it's still something that you kind of want to talk about.
I guess.
Hey, we're talking about it.
But it doesn't make it good. So, like, the coffins. Here's my thing about the coffins. I think that a mechanic that takes you to a new location like that is fine.
Yeah.
Hmm. As long as it's not, like, undermining the sort of reveals or the progression like, kind of screwing the player over. What I don't like about that is the internal logic that my player character has to go through.
To hop on a coffin?
For that to make sense for him. Oh, I've just beaten this crazy boss, and there's a bunch of coffins around. I'm going to get inside this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to whisk
away. What it should be, okay, I will say what it should be is more like Dark Souls 1, where there's a prompt that says, hop in the coffin, and you have to, you lie in the coffin, and you lie in there for like, I don't know, 30 seconds, and then you're teleported.
It should be that?
It should be that. Because then it's a player are choosing to lie in it, and you're like, okay, my character's lying in it. Okay, and then you can get out, or if you wait 30 seconds, you get teleported to a new place.
Yeah, I'm going to use Mario 64 as an example here.
Yeah,
in Mario 64, there are some places and like little flower patches where if Mario stands there for a couple seconds, he gets teleported.
Yeah, yeah.
You know where he doesn't get teleported to? He doesn't get teleported. The end dungeon? He doesn't get teleported to Bowser's fight. And you know what else? He doesn't have to like get inside a coffin.
Yeah, yeah.
It just happens.
A lot of the other Mario games have weird secrets you can jump into that then have tunnels that do skip you through levels.
They do skip you through. Yes, they don't skip you to the end, and they don't like undermine like the sort of the big reveals.
Yeah.
Well, in Mario, there's always like you aren't leveling up. The enemies are still the same throughout.
The other thing is, you are actively engaging in the mechanic in a Mario game to do that. So to get a warp whistle, you have to do a crazy secret thing, and then you have to use the item.
Yep.
And you get taken to a place, and you get a choice. It's all player driven.
Mm. You chose to open that chest.
In Elden Ring, you open a chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just
go somewhere. I like it. I like it a lot. I think I do kind of I get your point though, Nick. And I would like it more if like because the developers know that you'll open that chest at a certain level.
And at the very start of the game.
And it teleports
the way.
You to a place that you are not equipped for. Yeah. With enemies that you're not equipped for. So it really should teleport you to a place with enemies scaled. That then you look out over a vista or something of this like new land that you're in, and you can be like, oh my god, what it is? Because that cave that you go in and you just walk out onto like the shores of a lake, you're kind of just like, what is this? Like,
yeah, and you know what happens in that cave? The full heart enemies. If you die, do you know where you go?
Where? Back to your last.
No, you're still in the cave.
You're still in the cave.
Oh, really?
Yes. You literally cannot leave that cave.
Yeah, I had to find my way out.
It is bad. But this can be the player's like second chest they open, right?
Yeah. But this is why I like that chest that teleports you to the giant, because it's a contained area. It's clearly near the end game because the tree is right there and you can look out over the city.
Yep.
You know, you've got a boss.
Pay attention. If you don't and you just attack the foot, and because you saw the chest,
just beeline
then
straight
you spend
for it.
Hours trying to kill the thing.
But then
I learned nothing.
See, my thing was like, giant. I'm clearly not ready to fight that thing, so I'm just not going to. It's not like you're stuck in a cave where you actually have to fight your way out.
We haven't even talked. I'm sorry, we have not even talked about the stone sword keys at the start of the game.
Oh, man. Okay, have your rant. Yeah, yeah, you pick one, and then you can go into that dungeon, and you're not ready for that dungeon.
Yeah.
And it sucks, and you have a bad time, and then you quit the game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'll quickly fill Paul in. One of the starting items you can get is, like, two stone sword keys. And stone sword keys get you through, like, the misty white walls.
Yeah.
In the starting area of the game, like, after you die on that island, you appear in this, like, little crypt or whatever, and you're making your way up. And there is a misty wall that requires two stone sword keys. The same number of keys you start with.
Yeah.
And you can use those two stone sword keys. And you go through the misty wall. And there's like a poison pit. And you can run across the poison pit. And there's like a little platform. And you're like, okay, cool. And then a chariot made of blades runs at you and kills you.
It's also full of enemies that are probably like... There's also enemies shooting at you and stuff. Like,
yes.
You're not equipped for this.
The enemies start shooting you about halfway down the chariot run. You can stick in that dungeon and you can start doing like you can start navigating the chariot thing. You get to a point where like, okay, you're working out... if the chariot runs up past me, then I run down. It's all about timing. You get to a point where there's like a narrow bridge and... unless you have taken a shortcut, you cannot cross that bridge before that chariot runs you over. Impossible.
The chariot also
does kind of suck.
The chariot also does something that I was actually like, this is unfair. Normally in these games, I'm like, I made the mistake. That was on me. But this, I'm like, no.
It starts turning around.
Because the whole time it's going up and down this, like...
This path.
Yeah. Up and down. It's patrolling.
Yeah.
Right? So you work your way down, then you turn the corner, and you're like, ha, I'm safe. Suddenly... It turns a corner and starts doing the thing on the next level. And I'm like, how... Like, I have observed this thing doing this patrol... You know, so me as a player, I was like, it's taught me to expect this behavior.
Yeah.
Then suddenly out of nowhere, it just changes that behavior just based on like where I am.
This as
and
well,
I'm like, this actually. Is, no, this is not, yeah. This is not the Dark Souls way.
Oh, I think, look, if that's not the Dark Souls way, then I think I've greatly misjudged Dark Souls because it's the Elden Ring way for sure. It does it all the time. Yeah, I guess it is the Elden Ring way. Later on, there's one of these chariot dungeons where to make it through the end of the dungeon, you have to destroy the chariots.
Yeah.
And to destroy the chariots, you have to activate like a special light that summons a special chariot invisibly to you.
Oh, God.
You do not see this thing happening. You have to do this thing, and on faith alone, trust that this thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
It is bad. I had to look up a guide to get through that.
Yeah.
There are so many places where this game is just like, here's a mechanic. We're not really going to explain it very well. Also, we're going to change the mechanic on you. Mm. Also, screw you, no matter what.
Yeah.
I've beaten it. Let me emphasize this. I've beaten this game. I'm like halfway through another playthrough because I want to give it a fair judgment.
Wow.
And I think that being fair, being very charitable, it is like 7 out of 10. It is flawed in many ways. It has some very strong elements.
I do agree that it is flawed. I just think that some of its flaws are very interesting. And I think it's better for them.
I think some of them are interesting too.
Mm.
I think some of them are obnoxious. I think some of them are
I'd agree with that.
Laughing in a player's face and players going, yes, daddy, more.
Yep.
Step on me more, daddy. Yeah. It's
Do we just find the title for the episode?
Yeah, I think we did.
It's bad. Like I'm trying to wrap my head around why people love this game and series.
It doesn't
hold your hand. It slaps your hand into a pile of shit.
Mm. But then when you get through those things,
it gets worse later on.
Yeah, but like each step that you make it further, there is like this sense of accomplishment that you not only found out how to do the really weird, really hard thing, but
achieve it. That's true for a lot of things, but there are also a lot of things where I got through it and I was like, thank Christ. Like, I did not have a good time. I'm glad to be done with this.
You get to a certain point. Even by the time I beat that giant, there was like no satisfaction in it at that point. I just happened to finally have a flawless fight.
Yeah, because you've been banging your head against that giant for...
Against that giant's toe.
Yeah. Like I said, there was the hardest fight in the game was just a guy who gives you a summon. and I had to cheese it because it was just, I got to the point where I'm like, this is not fun. Yeah.
My thinking with this game and other Dark Souls games is that there's something, if a boss is too hard, there's always somewhere else to go. And it's,
I did like
that's
that.
Especially true with this. There's I didn't beat, what's his name? The first major boss.
Margit.
I didn't beat Margit for ages.
I didn't even know where he was until I was like ages into the game. Because I ran around the outside
of the castle.
Not knowing that you can go straight in.
Same.
I went all the way like to the southern peninsula and like.
Sorry, just to go on, on another tangent here. You know how when you do that, you can go into the back entrance of that castle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that about? Why can you do that?
That should... Well,
castles have backs, right?
You should be able to...
It's easier to go in the back of a castle.
You should literally be able to, like, get to the boss there. You should. It's weird that you can't.
You actually can't get to the boss?
No. You go into the room door's after closed. The boss.
Right.
There's a throne there, and there's, like... one NPC that gives you Shibiri get grapes.
Oh, yeah.
That some other NPC just outside the world wants. And that feels like the reason they put it in there. But that NPC could have been outside of the castle.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? It just is a weird thing that is just like...
Yeah, that is weird. I did think that was weird.
There's lots of things in this game where it's just like, did they overlook this? Mm. Did they forget? What is the decision here?
Because I like that you can find that back entrance.
Yep, that's fine.
And I like that you there's like a little, there's a whole like little bit of a,
you can go up the ladder.
It's a whole little area. Yeah. And as you're going through there, you're like, what is this place? Oh my God, this is so, and then you just come to a door. You can't get by. And it, not until you beat that boss,
you go,
on the other side, you open and go, oh, that's the room. So it's real weird that, there should just be a fog wall there that you don't go into. And you're like, oh, this is the boss of the thing.
Yeah.
So
like, hang on. Are you saying that they undermine a reveal? Are you saying that that you access a place later on?
Yeah.
That you're going to access later on, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess this is that.
It
okay,
gives sure. you no. It's not like I guess this is that. It's like, oh, this is that. Like
no,
this is
no,
a,
no,
this,
no, no.
It's a different feeling.
No. It was this. Oh, this is that.
It's still.
Oh, this is the empty room. Okay.
It's still a feeling
I don't
of
think
like.
I actually
oh,
did that. I think I must have run back round and gone into the front.
You may have. Or may have just missed the door. The door is like hidden behind some trees.
Yeah. It is hidden behind some trees. But I was like searching I was trying to find every little secret.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
I was talking to characters multiple times.
Oh my God. I was
barely talking to characters. I just ran around. I had a very large sword.
Yeah.
And I rolled very slow.
Oh.
And it was very interesting.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You could, okay, so here's a question. What would a playthrough be like where you kill every NPC that you encounter? Other than maybe vendors.
There are some that you can't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is a barrier around some of them, I'm pretty sure. So I don't know. I also haven't tried it, really, because I've accidentally hit some and discovered the barrier.
Oh, okay. Actually, maybe that's good, because in Dark Souls 1, I remember there was a vendor that... I needed, and when I was standing in front of him, I dropped my controller, and it hit the floor, and my character swung his sword and attacked that NPC.
I looked up how to get one thing. There was something I had that I was trying to figure out how to get more of.
Yeah.
And then it turns out, like, you kill vendors to get the thing.
Oh,
yeah, the bell bearings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to kill vendors.
No, there's a whole system that supports it. All right. Well, there's many more things I can talk about.
It's great. I'll tell you what I like about it. It's that sense of discovery. It's got that way more than any of those other games.
When you say other games,
no, I'm not talking about Zelda. Don't worry. I'm not.
Let's be clear here.
Zelda.
They have it more
discovery.
Than other games of the by the same developer.
The more than other Souls games.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I have to compare it to Zelda because it is the one that people were comparing to Zelda.
Yeah.
And they were saying, oh, but Zelda's combat is worse. You know what? Sure. Zelda's combat is simpler.
Yeah.
I would not say it's necessarily worse. I would say it's simpler.
Yeah.
I would say almost everything about Zelda is better.
Man,
I made it fast through far more of Elden Ring than I did Zelda.
I suppose I finished Zelda.
I think.
and I didn't finish Elden Ring.
Are we talking Tears of the Kingdom?
No, I need to get back and play that. Okay. You know, oh man, too many good games this year. I got to get back to playing Baldur's Gate, which is a giant game.
Yeah.
Zelda, that's a giant game.
Yeah, Warcraft Rumble.
That's a tiny game.
That's a toilet game.
Yeah.
All right. We are well over time. If you want to tell me how wrong I am about Elden Ring, please go ahead. Frenzyquestions@gmail.com. Just make sure that the headline is Blake Y.
No, it should be Nick Y.
Nick
this
Y,
time.
Yeah.
It's definitely Nick Y.
It's gotta
always
be.
Gonna be Blake Y. We'll be back in a couple weeks. I'll probably have more things to say about Elden Ring because I have many more.
I think it's interesting that both me and Paul like Elden Ring,
and you didn't finish it.
Neither of us
so
has finished
I'm
it.
I'm gonna go ahead
and
say,
you're on.
My opinion matters more.
You're on New Game Plus, and you like don't like it.
I look no. I don't not like it. I think it's okay. I think it is far worse than people give it credit for. That's my take.
I can understand that.
I think they overlook so many serious issues.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why it gets such a free pass.
I know it's because it's built on the legacy of Dark Souls games.
Which I also think get a free pass on weird issues that people overlook.
I do get what you mean. I get what you mean. It's just that like so much of it is there's a note on the ground that tells you how to do something or approach something.
Yeah.
And that gives it like far more of a free pass than it reasonably should. If you didn't have those,
it would be completely inscrutable. You couldn't play it.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's like such a problem because that's also an option. A player can play offline.
Yeah. Is that a thing that they have found that they're just like leaning on way
that's,
too much?
That's,
and
that is
just
nice,
and are just like, actually, we
but
can
But I
just
think
put,
they're intentionally doing it
yes.
too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can but put in these convoluted like things and players will just figure it out and then tell other players in game how to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It is fully reliant on the game being popular for that to work as well. Yeah. If someone was like, nah, this one sucks, don't bother buying it, and then there's no notes, you have a very bad
game. I had a friend who I think pirated Dark Souls 3, so he didn't have any of those notes.
Yeah.
He had a very different experience than I did.
That doesn't surprise
He said it felt lonely.
Yeah, I mean, even Elden Ring feels lonely.
Well, like, you get used to seeing the ghosts of other people and stuff like that. And you see like the blood splats all over the place. So you're like, oh shit, there's like something dangerous coming up because you see all the blood splats.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. That I also think that's dumb.
Really? I like that a lot.
To me, that is, again, undermining. It's a game that is reliant on surprise for so many elements. And then they have a mechanic that specifically undercuts the surprise.
But because it's all about observing your surroundings. Like, okay, so there's a bit early on where you walk through a gate and a giant will jump down at you.
Yeah.
Like, you can easily miss that giant, but it's very clear if you look up, you'll see this giant.
That's fine. That's not...
But you'll also see a load of blood splats because people get killed by the giant. So just look, man. Just look what you're walking into.
But the blood splats are the thing that... And if the giant jumps down, that's a cool surprise.
Yeah, but that can kill you in one shot, and then you then you would say like, "Oh, this game, it's unfair. How am I supposed to know about that?"
Well, then don't have the giant jump directly down on the player. Have them jump in front of the player. Easily solved.
But you're supposed to look at the ground and say, "Oh
by
my
way,
god, there's like all these blood
the
splats.
Way,
what's happening in this area? Oh my god, look up there. There's a giant."
I did a dungeon, which I have a whole thought about the whole radical. What's that? The map. Malekith? No. The Caelid dungeon with there's like a guy on a tiny horse.
Yeah.
Massive guy, tiny horse.
Very
silly.
Yeah.
That fight is dumb. But
I enjoyed the shit out of it. I have many
thoughts about the dungeon itself, but when I returned to that dungeon after that fight, there's like a giant that drops down. And he just died in front of me.
That's good.
He took fall damage and died.
That's great.
And that was like, great.
I
sure.
Like that.
Great job, Elden Ring. 10 out of 10.
That's fun.
Okay. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Frenzyquestions@gmail.com. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
I mean, if you're comparing it to Tears of the Kingdom,
yeah,
that has floating islands. Like,
well, even ignoring the floating islands,
it also has the underground.
The underground, yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of areas that are up above you.
But discovering the underground was incredible.
I'm talking when you are in an area, it is basically like follow the course of the land.
You
rarely are you like taking interesting paths or. There are times where you drop down to a thing.
Yeah.
But that's usually in a dungeon.
Mm.
Right? Or you know, or there's like a ladder or something. It's usually very straightforward.
Yeah, clear.
Just kind of follow it, stick to the cliffs, or go to the ruins.
I'm cool with that. I like
how many times have you climbed a hill or like some difficult terrain in Elden Ring?
I get it. I get it.
I did, and I found stuff that I was supposed to go through a whole cave to find.
Hmm.
Really?
Yeah. There was a ledge, and you weren't. I don't think you were intended to be able to get up there. But there was like a couple of points that you could jump to. And then I left a little note to say try jumping, and no one uploaded it because no one actually tried because everyone says try jumping when you can't.
Yeah. Everyone was like, "Oh, good joke."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a lot of upvotes there. I found a raptor claw weapon, and then I said, "Time for raptor," and I got a lot of.
Nice. Yeah, I don't think funny. I've ever left a message.
I left heaps because they would heal you.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, when someone upvotes your message, you get healed. And if you're in the middle of a boss fight, that can sometimes be like amazing.
Wow.
It's pretty. You gotta get lucky.
Yeah.
Oh, now you probably do.
The margin for error there is pretty narrow. Three minute boss fight, and then like.
When it first came out, there was so many people playing.
Yeah.
That I think that was probably way more common.
Sure.
That's cool. I don't think I...
Like, I had that happen, like, a lot. Okay. But well, I left lots of tri-finger butthole. Yeah, upvotes every time.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate the sense of humor of that audience.
That's me. I'm sorry.
But all over the place. All over the place.
Yeah. When I first played, right, it was, like, the first weekend that it came out. And that starting area... where it's like, you know, cliffs, you know, it was just covered in things saying like, try jumping, chest ahead, try jumping, secret ahead, try jumping.
Yeah. Liar ahead.
Yeah.
Liar ahead.
Oh, yeah. I've seen walls that had liar ahead. And then the thing next to the wall is like, you know, try hitting secret ahead or whatever.
Yeah.
You do not have the right.
What about, what is it, a good dog or something for the...
Dog, yes.
For the tortoises?
Praise dog.
Yes.
Everyone calls it. No, could this be dog?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, this is...
So good.
Is it?
Yeah, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about it.
Okay. That game, I think... does some things very well,
yeah,
and a lot of things it does not do nearly as well as people seem to think it does.
I agree that it does get a free pass on a lot of things that other games wouldn't, and it's all because of the legacy.
Just using your
and
inventory.
Yeah.
Think about when you have to swap weapons in Zelda.
Yeah.
Or skills.
Yeah.
Or anything else, it's like pretty quick, pretty easy, and then like Elden Ring is like down. Okay, here's the thing I want to use. Freaking animation. Down.
Yep.
I think me and Zelda just don't get along.
I'm curious why that is.
I don't know, because like you were talking about the menus in Zelda being good, and I was like, my mind immediately went to the combining thing, where you've got to, in the middle of battle, like, go and fuse some stuff together to try and, like, combine two weapons, and like...
Oh, you're doing... Well, you should not be doing that in the middle of battle.
There is
a good thing, but you've got like durability, so
yeah,
something might break,
yeah,
and then you've got to go into your inventory and like craft stuff.
But you can also do that on the fly with things that are already lying on the ground.
Yeah,
you can kill a monster, and
you could already have stuff crafted. Like Zelda is more like you have an arsenal that you're kind of managing and deciding what you're going to use for what situation.
In a menu in the middle of the game.
Yeah, but it's such a simple menu, and it slows it. It basically pauses the game while you're.
Doesn't have bullet time.
Yeah.
and like the sliding menu where you can see all of the things and choose between them, as opposed to toggle. Oh, I went past the thing I wanted to get, so
let's
go around again.
I'm actually so surprised that you played so much of it. Because I like the game, and
I think you like it more than you're letting on as well.
No.